Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. What a strange program it's already been. Lisa Goddard felt like a jealous girlfriend. 503-733-2970. Those are her words, not mine, by the way. 503-733-2970. I also sometimes feel like a jealous girlfriend. And pretty. Oh, so pretty. So, Rick at RickEmerson.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now go to the Ministry of Truth with Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Figuring out how to work together. That's how White House spokesman Tony Snow describes the series of meetings that the president is holding with those crazy Democrats are going to be running this country beginning in January. He called this a time for both sides to express goodwill and to talk over a series of issues. Snow stressed it is not necessarily a time for concrete issues to be addressed.
Democrats, especially on Election Day and certainly since, have been talking about the obligations of being in a leadership role in the House and Senate and having something to show for that leadership in terms of concrete accomplishments. And we certainly want to work with them.
Please don't hurt us. Please pass our nominees, for the love of God.
Grovel, grovel, grovel.
Tony Snow said the Bush administration wants to figure out a way to end the war in Iraq, with Democratic help, of course.
We are eager to be working in a bipartisan way toward accomplishing our goals in Iraq, which is an Iraq that can sustain, govern, and defend itself. That's going to be an ally in a war on terror that will be able also to be an example in the region that democracy can win in a confrontation with terror. And those are practical discussions, and they're going to be ongoing.
Oh, how the worm has turned, Tony Snow. The best part is when he says that they're eager to work in a bipartisan fashion. We've been losing the Congress was all right. I meant to do that.
Meanwhile, Tony Snow said the search for Osama bin Laden continues.
The president has always made it clear that we continue to hunt vigorously for bin Laden.
No, you don't.
Furthermore, our allies in the region continue to do so as well.
Shut up.
That's not going to change.
Let it be. Knock it off. In fact,
leave him alone.
Hold on. Wait, hold on, Beck. Well, let me see if I can have this here. This is our esteemed leader here.
And, you know, again, I don't know where he is.
Wait for it.
I repeat what I said. I truly am not that concerned about him.
No! Oh, damn that internet and its archiving of George W. Bush saying he didn't care about Osama bin Laden. Darn it all to hell.
That's going to be missing by this afternoon.
Yeah.
How did you brought it up?
The guy getting storming in. Where's the clip now, funny man? Whack. All right.
Well, is Hillary eyeing the White House in 08?
Yes.
New York's junior senator says she has made no plans for her future.
There'll be time once we get through the lame duck session and get into the holidays to, you know, think about maybe some other things. But right now I'm going to focus
some other
on
things.
This great victory that we had and that our state and our country had.
Yeah. It's a good time to be us, Tim Riley.
There's a few things on her agenda now that the Democrats are taking control.
One of the principal recommendations for the 9/11 Commission was the money should follow the threat. And we never got the support from the White House to get that done. And so I'm going to look to all my Democratic colleagues to make sure that that happens, because that will be good for us.
You know, and here's the thing about it is, you know, it is because the Democrats having retaken the Senate and the House both, and the fact that Hillary Clinton now in some way can work, you know, that must just give George W. Bush just a bleeding ulcer. Just sitting there, the idea that Hillary Clinton is in any sort of a position to put him in a hammer lock on something, that'll make you go home and kick your cat across the room. All right. Scott, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello there.
Hey.
What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to say that Craig guy, he had a dead-on Sammy, man. It was really good to hear his voice again.
Craig, yes, and how weird, and Sarah is probably a little on the young side and in the wrong demo to appreciate this, but that Kinison is, I know it goes without saying, because, again, he was Howard's official kind of Kinison impersonator for a long time. But, I mean, it is beyond dead on.
I thought it would have been cool to have a guy who was on Sex and the City in here.
Yeah, see, and that's so, Sarah and I look at the same. You know what it is? Here's what it is.
He was so gross in that episode. He really gross.
But he's a good-looking man, though, isn't he? He's an attractive man.
No, he put on a lot of weight for that show. And
but, I mean,
if you've seen the episode, any girl who's seen that episode knows what I'm talking about. It is disgusting.
Let's see. Kristen says you should kick yourself for not having him in the studio. I hung out with him a couple years ago when he was in town. He's hysterically funny. I would do him in a second, she
really?
Says. Yeah, well, but again, I'm not saying he's not a good-looking man. I don't really
know. He is. I'm looking at the pictures of him on the Internet. He's good-looking. He said he gained weight for Sex City, and he was playing not a very attractive role.
And it's a funny thing, too. He's a funny guy. Mm-hmm. Chicks dig a funny guy.
It made me think of one story I heard about Sam when he was in Portland. They were drinking, and all the bars and all the liquor stores closed, and they were trying to get more liquor. So somebody had the bright idea. Pulled up a couple limos.
Yeah.
They came to the motel. They emptied out the bar and the limos and continued drinking.
I never thought about that. I've got that bit at home on one of my Sam Kinison bootlegs. I'm a huge Kinison
fan. Yeah, that's where I got it.
And he does that. And Sam does this great riff. I got to bring that in. Thank you for reminding me about that.
Yeah,
hold on. Kinison, Portland. I have this. Sam did this whole bit about being stuck in Portland, Oregon for the night.
And that was good.
And he was like, we were with him in Portland, and there were no booze. And out of the void, out of the darkness, he created booze. All right, Kinison, Portland.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that guy, that Kinison thing was so good. I think test, I think, yeah, in a Pepsi challenge, I don't think I could tell the difference.
No, it was scary. It was totally scary. I almost had to pull over. Hey, I gotta go. You guys keep up the work, and I'll keep spreading the word.
Thank you, Scott. There you go. Yeah, that Kinison was so dead on. It was freaky beyond all words. So, all right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, meanwhile, if former House Speaker Newt Gingrich runs for president, he may not get much support from his home state. The polls show only 30% of Georgia residents think he would make a good choice. Well, most mayor-elects don't have their mother running into their bedroom at 5 in the morning yelling, "You won! Get down to breakfast!" But that's exactly what happened to 18-year-old Kyle Corbin. Running as a write-in candidate, Corbin was just 5 weeks after his 18th birthday running for mayor of Union, Oregon. So apparently, Oregon Secretary of State said the victory is well in hand, and he defeated some older folks.
How many people live in... Where is Union, Oregon?
I don't know. All probably right. The eastern part of the state where no people live anyway.
Okay. He's mayor of a hitching post.
Yes, he is.
All right. Have you seen those tiny little miniature horses that have been put at the hitching post
You've
all around?
You've never seen those?
No.
They've been around for years.
Are they new? They're not new?
No, since I've lived here. I see them randomly. Everywhere.
Maybe it's because they're all tiny and not my line of vision, and I'm not really down there hitching things up anyway. But I'm getting out of the car, and I'm like, goddamn horse down here. And it's one of those things that everybody known about but me.
Oh, they're so cute. Yeah, they just pop up out of nowhere.
They really are adorable. We should do... Well, you know, we have that Encyclopedia Portlandia thing, but I was thinking about, you know, cool little things like that. I get sidetracked with this here, but there are a million little things like that in Portland.
Yes.
That, like, you don't really notice until, you know, they just sort of strike you one day. You know what I was thinking about, too? And Tim might not know this, but Sarah and I will know this. In the bike lanes here, how they dress up the figures. Yeah, there's the figures painted on the bike lane.
There's an IRS man right over there.
Is there, with a briefcase or something?
There's an IRS man with a little bill, and it says IRS, and he has a briefcase, and he's right in front of the coin center.
And it's one of those things you can't see unless you're riding a bike, because it's flat, it's painted on the road, and it's flush with the surface, so you can't see it unless you're above it on a bike. If you're in a car, you're at the wrong angle, and you wouldn't see it, you'd be by too fast. But when you're riding through the bike lanes, there are, every 100 yards or something, there's a painted figure of a man riding a bike, and it's in the bike lane to denote that it is a lane for bikes. Bicycles. And most of them are just sort of stick figures on bicycles, but then every now and again there's like one with a clown hat. And I thought that was vandalism. I thought that was, you know, not the vandalism as such, but I thought it was homemade. The guys from Portland, let's go turn that into a clown guy. But not, apparently the city just did it. And that's, I mean, how cool is that? So in your face, everybody who's not Portland, goddamn Oregon. That's right. And I got this beer story about Portland we'll get to later anyway, so.
Anaconda, Montana.
Anaconda, Montana?
Mm-hmm.
There ought to be a porn star named Anaconda Manawanda or something.
A woman in this fair city sentenced 8 years in prison for fatally shooting her husband after he handed her a gun and dared her to do so during a drunken argument. Sandy Fish pled guilty to mitigated deliberate homicide for shooting Dan Baird twice with a .44 Magnum handgun. They suspended 17 years of her 25-year sentence.
Well, there you go.
Bob Dylan's music isn't playing well on Broadway. That musical uses Dylan songs as its soundtrack is closing after 28 performances and 38 previews.
The show, it is a closing.
The times, they are changing. Open to poor reviews back in October.
I don't understand why you would... Look, and there's no disrespect to Bob Dylan. It seems like a bad idea, though. What kind of Broadway play... You know, this is, you know what the fault, this is all Billy Joel's fault. This is the fault of that, the moving out thing. It's him and Twyla Tharp. And what kind of a name is Twyla? Please. I don't even know if Twyla, is Twyla Tharp a man or a woman?
Well, that sounds like a lady.
Isn't that who the person who did Moving Out, that Broadway play with Billy Joel?
I don't know.
You go
Are
down
you sure
the,
it wasn't Willa?
You, no, it's Twyla, huh. I think. You go down to the Cuisinos downstairs, and there's a big autographed poster from, there's a bunch of Broadway
Maybe
play.
Maybe Scotty J can check it, because I was going to see if he could run to Cuisinos for me.
Oh, Scotty J, Cuisinos. He goes there like once a day anyway. How does that guy stay so thin? He is a very slender man, Scotty J. But you know what? He's on that big, fatty suburban diet. He's got to be. No, there's a poster for Moving Out, which is a Broadway play with all the Billy Joel music. There's also one with the Beach Boys. There's one with Queen, I think. And yes. Then there's... But you know, Bob Dylan, that's a bad idea. By the way, mark my words, there will be a Ramones Broadway play within like 10 years. It'll happen.
Meanwhile, a Romanian teenager had to have emergency surgery after swallowing a toothbrush while she practiced performing oral sex.
I'm sorry?
A Romanian teenager had to have emergency surgery after swallowing a toothbrush while she practiced performing oral sex.
I don't understand why. Oh. Yeah. Oh, because, and then with the... Okay.
Andrea Vlad, who's...
Andrea Vlad.
Who comes from the far east of Romania, initially told a doctor she had slipped and followed the 7-inch toothbrush.
7 inches?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's impressive.
But when the medical staff carried out examinations, they realized she had no scratches or cuts in her throat to back up her claim.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
7 inches and no scratches?
Mm-hmm. She admitted she and some friends had been watching a pornographic movie, okay. And that she had swallowed the brush afterwards while practicing a technique and imitating the woman in the film.
Oh, my God.
You weren't listening to this.
I read this story earlier. I didn't hear all the...
So she and her girlfriends are watching a porn film, and she says, get me a toothbrush. I'd like to practice that.
Mm-hmm.
And then she swallowed it.
Yeah.
The toothbrush, that is.
Right.
All 7 inches.
So we don't know if she succeeded in her original goals.
How old is she?
Is she alive?
16. Oh, yeah.
No,
how did they get it out?
Probably with a cattle prod.
I was just saying, however they get things out in Romania.
That's a lot of stuff to work through to get that toothbrush out, a lot of angles.
No, I think they took it out of her mouth.
Okay. We don't know what a Romanian toothbrush looks like.
May I see the story?
Yep. That's a model posing. We don't know she's Romanian.
But the best thing, though, is that her name is, and she's 16, Andrea Vlad.
I mean, for all we know, their toothbrushes could be made out of oxtails or something.
An oxtail wrapped around a crescent wrench.
Yes.
And Easter told doctors she had slipped and swallowed the 7-inch toothbrush.
Well, that is a slippery country.
But when medical staff carried out examinations, they realized she had no scratches or cuts on her throat. When questioned further, she admitted she and her friends had been watching a pornographic film, and she had swallowed the brush afterward while practicing a technique and imitating the women in the film. A spokesman for the county hospital in Sukavia, where she was treated, says this girl's very lucky. She did not suffer any internal damage because of the toothbrush, but things could have been much worse for her. Oh, no, it was surgery. Okay, so they cut her open. So it wasn't like you had to... She did not have to pass the toothbrush. You would be clean, though. All right, here's Tim Riley.
An unknown man has been bugging women and police by using an insect story to try to persuade women to disrobe. This comes from Wisconsin.
Of course.
Police say the man who remains at large told female workers at least 7 businesses that they have a tick on their clothes and should remove their clothing to find it. We don't know what his potential gain is, but if it's sexual gratification
hard
or
to
maybe
imagine.
He's trying to be funny, this is a serious crime.
Of course it is.
Haley Fronowski was working recently at Sunset Tan on Waukesha, apparently.
Waukesha.
Oh, whatever it is. I just know Osh Bagosh from there. When a man came in and asked her to show him the tanning beds at one time, the man told her that she had a tick on her shirt. He said, "It's right there." That's when he took my pants, pulled them down... Pull them over.
Okay, so this is...
And that's when I jumped and started running to the bathroom.
So this isn't so much about would you take off your pants. This is a look over there. Whoa! You know, and then just like shoving them down to the floor.
Right.
Okay, because before I was just going to put it all in the woman, like, for being a moron.
No.
That's just sort of a look at this bright, shiny object while I put my hand in your pants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's unnerving. Let's do one more and then we'll break and we got Ed McCarthy coming up here.
Student leaders at a California college have touched off a furor by banning the Pledge of Allegiance at their meetings. You can tell the Democrats are taking over. They're getting rid of all this stuff already.
Godlessness is rising.
Mm-hmm. Saying there's no reason to publicly swear loyalty to God and the U.S. government.
Bam!
The move by Orange Coast College student trustees.
Is that a real college?
Yeah.
Okay.
Orange Coast. The latest clash over patriotism and religion in American schools has infuriated some of their classmates, prompting one young woman to loudly recite the pledge in front of the board Wednesday night in defiance of the rule.
Shut your hole.
America's the one thing I'm passionate about, and I cannot let them take that away from me, said 18-year-old political science major Christine Zoldos.
Who really needs to get laid more.
It doesn't say that here as a fact.
No, that's it. Dan, we're making... That's my... that's just my... that's just my...
asked it. My personal...
just my journalistic observation. What is her name?
Is this an honor of Ed Bradley?
We told this woman that she needed to get laid more. Our cameras caught the results. It's just like Mike Wallace. Have you considered having more sex? What is it? Yeah, I'm sure wearing an earring.
The fact is...
I'll go with Ed Bradley for Halloween.
They have more than enough power over our most valuable traditions in America, and I feel horrible, said Zoldos, who apparently...
Zoldos?
Yes.
Isn't that the guy that puts a... Isn't Zoldos the guy from Superman 2? Not Zod.
I didn't see Superman 2, and neither did anyone else.
All right.
And people ran from Superman 3.
Kneel before Zoldos, son of Jor-El!
You may be right.
I may be crazy.
Maybe we should say this was Scott Daly.
Best show ever. We should take a break.
Are we late? No, we're not. Well, we might as well take it anyway.
Hello. Best show ever continues. More Tim Riley around the corner. We'll speak with our friend Ed McCarthy as well. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Emerson Radio Show is 12:31 here on Fridays. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up in a few, we'll have more of Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Tim Conway, Harvey Korman, and Louise Duarte. That sounds like a fake name. Here's the thing. Louise Duarte sounds like somebody who would be one of Tim Conway's drag characters. Well, we're going to figure it out. All right, it's 503-733-2970. So coming up today, we have, I would ask Scotty, but he's at Quiznos getting Sarah a sandwich, as is his place. But we have second row tickets for Tim Conway, Harvey Korman today. We'll try to get to the first row. Here's the thing, because we're doing the 5-4-3-2-1. So Monday we had fifth row tickets, Tuesday fourth row tickets, etc. We're a day behind though with everything, because the election just made everything so crazy. So today we got second row tickets, and we may do the front row seats today. But if we can, we might bump that to next week, because I got to find some. There's got to be some special way to give that away, because the front row seats for Conway and Korman, that's also backstage and the meet and greet and so forth and whatever. So anyway, so we'll get to that. It's 503-733-2970. Let us now welcome from the South our good friend CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy joining us now. Ed McCarthy, how are you, sir?
E-G-I-F, Rick.
Yes, yes. Yes, indeed. How's life at the CNN Center in Atlanta, my friend?
Well, it was good. It was a pretty busy week with the elections, of course, and we all weathered the storm. Glad we did.
This has been the most insane week. I can't even tell you, not just because of the elections. It is like, it is just like everybody took a bunch of crazy pills this week.
Oh, I know.
I mean, and I'm just looking at this stuff, that the list of stuff that you are covering just today. I mean, is it this whole world? Is it's not that it's going to hell. It's just that it's gone all wobbly the last few days. We had, I don't know if I mentioned this to you or if it was Roop I was telling this to, but on Tuesday, which was like we had the elections going all wacky, all of the problems with that. There were a Macy's caught on fire here in Portland. They had to evacuate it. All of our phone systems went dead. A big truck full of grease spilled on one of the highways here. A guy threw himself off a building in the middle of downtown Portland, right near like a couple blocks from where we are. All of it, Britney Spears got divorced, all in the course of 1 4-hour radio program that happened.
So, you think it was because Mars passed the sun on Monday?
That's what I'm saying. See, I didn't want to come out and say that. I want to come out and say that was the reason, but I have my suspicions, Ed McCarthy. And so, and
you guys had the pineapple effect too,
which is a
the
thing.
Pineapple Express.
That's a thing that like I'd never heard of. I thought the look. Can I just be honest? I thought the Pineapple Express was when you got dysentery in Hawaii. That's what I thought it was.
Yes.
I'm just saying that's what it sounded like to me, but it was one of those terms that everybody in the world was in on except for me. I don't know why. And lately, our conversations with you have focused a lot on the what's going to kill you angles in our society. Today, what is going to kill us is 11 million bottles of what?
Oh, yeah. It's not Tylenol now, but it's that acetaminophen.
Which is the sort of generic version of Tylenol.
And I have to practice that word about 7 or 8 times before I do it.
Yeah, and this is... Now, am I right about this, that it's because they contain pieces of metal?
That's what they found, and, so far they've been very lucky that nobody's been injured. You know, they say, it could cause a little bleeding. And I'm thinking, you might want to get a cut on your mouth. Not a good way to start the morning. You know, I'm the guy that pounds that pain medication, so, I don't need that.
Well, then, it cuts in your mouth, I think, are the least of your worries. You swallow a bunch of small pieces of sharp metal, you're going to have cuts in places that you can't put a Band-Aid. And you don't want to go to the doctor with that. And I'm with you. This is the thing. I don't know what it is, man. Do you ever think that, you got some physical problem where certain kinds of medication just have no effect on you? Non-aspirin, which is like an ibuprofen or whatever, I can take that stuff by the fistful and it does nothing. The only thing that works for me is aspirin. I don't know why that is.
I don't know. I like the Advil. I go for the Advil. I've got to be honest.
And then I'm just going to move down these one by one because you got of all the people, you got the busiest day. So there's 11 million bottles of acetaminophen being pulled off the market, and then poor Ed Bradley passed away. And I got to tell you, it says stunning friends who didn't know he was ill. No one knew he was ill. We had no idea.
He had a heart problem and heart surgery, but we did not know anything about the leukemia. I was shocked. I really was. I know he looked a little, like he was ill recently, the last time I saw him. But other than that, you wouldn't know.
It's just a downer, man. I mean, I watched that guy. I don't know when he joined 60 Minutes, but, I mean, certainly most of my life watching 60 Minutes, I have never known a 60 Minutes without him.
1981, he joined 60 Minutes, but he had, what a career prior to that.
Yep.
I mean, he was injured in, coverage of Vietnam. In fact, he said he thought he was going to lose his arm the minute he got hit.
Mm.
And, he just was amazing, but he was best with the stories that weren't all that serious. So I remember that one interview with Muhammad Ali that was fabulous, and he always had that twinkle in his eye, but just all the awards he's won, well-deserved, just a tremendous journalist. And I think everybody would just, look up to him as somebody that would be somebody that they could really hope that they could even just carry his shoes.
The guy just has I was saying yesterday that it's an overused word, but the man had gravitas. You know what I mean? There was real weight when Ed Bradley spoke, which is not a thing that comes just from being famous. Because, in my estimation, and this is just my opinion, but in my opinion, Dan Rather, for example, never really had a lot of weight. Walter Cronkite did. Walter Cronkite spoke, and it was like the voice of God. Dan Rather spoke, and didn't really carry much weight for me. Ed Bradley, though, was one of those guys where he said something, and you believed it to your core.
You absolutely believed it, And it's funny. That whole gang on 60 Minutes, Andy Rooney, he does the funny side of things, Bradley was serious, but could do the funny side of things as well. Very versatile.
Mm. And then finally, we have there's just this file of stories that they bust out every year around this time, and it's all variations on the same thing. And this year, I hate to be like I'm just the I hate to sound like I am sort of an Andy Rooney, can't we all just get along type or whatever. But seriously, for the love of sweet God, if people would just relax and just not freak out about crap so much. So I'm reading this now. Walmart is planning to announce next week it will be using the phrase Merry Christmas in stores, products and ads this year instead of Happy Holidays or Season's Greetings. The move comes after religious groups boycotted retailers who dropped the word. Seriously, is this really is why the rest of the world just loathes us so much? Because we are just so fat and happy and stupid in this country that we have nothing better to protest or complain about. I like how it's not worth protesting that 40 million people don't have health care. But if Walmart chooses the wrong series of letters to identify a holiday, suddenly you can never give them your money and you have to march out front like an idiot for 3 weeks during the winter. Seriously.
You have to retrain the greeters now at Walmart to say, Merry Christmas.
Oh, for the love of God. I understand that there are people, as my mom always, my mom was the leader of that Keep the Christ in Christmas thing, which is fine. I don't have any problem with anybody's beliefs. And with this whole passive of people in this world who do not celebrate Christ as part of Christmas. Christmas is, in my opinion, a de facto secular holiday at this point. But even so, just people just... You know what you ought to do, Ed McCarthy? Whenever you meet one of these people on either side of the political aisle who's all worked up about something like whether you say Christmas or holidays, When they're not looking, just drug them. That's just, you need to, just start drugging people one by one until everybody's just a little more mellow. You know what I'm saying?
Give them some of those acetaminophen pills.
That's what I'm saying. Just people just need to calm the hell down about things. And I mean, because you heard about these religious groups who were boycotting people who wouldn't say Christmas last year. And when they say religious groups, that's not religious groups. That's extreme right-wing Christian groups. Because to the best of my knowledge, there were no Jewish groups boycotting retailers for not saying Christmas last year.
That's correct. And they've got a thing now where they, in their webpage, it has the gifts that they have for Hanukkah and for Kwanzaa.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden Walmart is trying to become all-inclusive, but they have buckled to the Christian organizations, and instead of their holiday shop, it's going to be their Christmas shop this year.
Love of God, can't we just all... I'm not even going to go any further because it's just going to give me agita. You know, then I'm going to be the one with the bleeding ulcer, and I'm going to need the acetaminophen, and then I'm going to be filled with metal fragments, and then my
that'll make it worse.
Then my intestines are going to fall out, and then none of us will be ahead in the game. Good God!
Did that story last year, you know, on the happy holidays versus the Merry Christmas, and get a bunch of people, and you know, I had both sides all worked up, and then I closed the story up by saying, "Well, happy holidays," and then you know.
I remember. I remember once. This was a couple years ago, and there's the last I'll say about it because this is going to drive me to drink. A few years ago, I sent out some holiday thing or whatever, and I closed it, and I don't even think it was a conscious effort. I just said like happy holidays and whatever, and you know, Rick Emerson. It was like a thing to the audience and the coworkers and whatever, and it wasn't a conscious happy holidays. You know, I said it without thinking, and you know, man, it's like I got email from people like I had shot their dog. You know, it's coming unglued. All right, here and a final note today, and I know you're busy. We run here in a second, but I'll ask you this. I will tell you this right now. I know all of my sports knowledge can be fit inside one-tenth of a thimble. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you this question that it says here about a sporting event, and then I will let you answer, and then I will respond as though I understand what you're talking about, because I know there are many men and people in the audience who enjoy sports. So I will ask you this, and I'll pretend to understand your answer. So now that the NFL is approaching midseason, who's winning the battle on TV? Because Monday Night Football moved from ABC to ESPN, and now NBC has Sunday Night Football. Ed, is Sunday night what Monday used to be?
Actually, they're both pretty good in the ratings. The NFL's happy with what they're doing. They're doing better than they did a year ago. But the most watched games are those games at 4 in the afternoon. Those are the ones that really draw the 4 Eastern, I should say, you know, for your time out
Indeed.
There. The late afternoon Sunday games are the ones that draw the big ratings. So, you know, the ratings are not that great, but they're for Monday night and Sunday night, but they're better than they have been. So the NFL is happy and everybody's happy. And, of course, ESPN can, you know, go along the entire week, basically, promoting Monday Night Football. That's all they do, because that's all they do. I mean, they're sports networks, so that's what they do, and they're definitely making up that $1.6 billion that the whole thing costs for all the rights.
Just as I suspected, Ed McCarthy. Just as I suspected. All right. Thank you, my friend. Enjoy.
But I must tell you this before we leave.
Yes.
They're a week from Saturday, they're sending me down to Miami to cover a NASCAR race.
Really?
And I know nothing about it.
And that's okay. Well, you know what it is? Week in Canva. When is that? A week from Saturday?
Yeah.
I'll canvas the audience. And in fact, on Tuesday, are you working Tuesday, do you know?
Tuesday I will be, yeah.
Tuesday you're working. All right. Tuesday, well, one of our recurring guests is a guy named Dennis who actually does an auto show and is actually sort of the official auto guy of our program. And he's
we'll have
a huge.
Give me some tips on how to cover this.
He's a huge race fan. I'll make sure that he's here to give you a few tips.
That's all I need. Just to give me the refresher. I watch it every once in a while, but I'm not real good on the yellow flag. All I know is when they crash into each other and into the wall. That's all I know.
He'll make you sound like a genius. All right. Ed McCarthy, enjoy your weekend, my friend.
Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Tuesday.
There you go. There's Ed McCarthy, ladies and gentlemen, CNN radio correspondent in Atlanta. What? Really? Fine. All right, I'll do this one. This is... Hello!
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, is this Daryl?
Yes, it is.
All right, what's your problem?
You know, I mean, he talks about the Christmas thing. I'm not one of those people that's going to really freak out about it, but
the whole reason it even started happening is because there's these people that have that want no religion and anything, and our country was founded on it.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. Our country was founded by a bunch of Protestants.
Let me ask you this. Which religion is it that says that blacks are two-thirds of a person and that it's okay to own them?
No religion says that.
Okay, so when you say it was founded on religion, what?
Our country's laws and beliefs and everything were based upon a Christian religion.
That's not really true. So the people who founded the country, they were good Christians.
Yes, they were.
Really, the slave-owning kind.
Different times, different places, man.
I see. So at one point, owning slaves was Christian.
No, at one time, owning slaves.
I'm trying to figure this out. Were they good Christians or not?
Were they good Christians? According to the Bible, it was okay to own slaves. So, yeah.
Well,
the Bible hasn't changed, so do you still think it is?
Seriously, which version of the Bible do you own?
Owning slaves? Go ahead and look at the Old Testament. It says a whole lot about slaves, how you're supposed to treat your slave, your servant.
So as long as they're treated okay.
No, I'm not saying that having slaves is a good thing.
I'm glad you clarified that.
What if they get to visit the big house?
You just totally avoided the issue of Christmas and try to put it off on something else. That's because you have no idea how to think for yourself. You go along with all the other secular progressives.
Here's the thing.
Christian of you, sir.
Seriously, that's all.
Learn tolerance.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
What a little bitch.
We'll be back to the Lars Larson show in just a moment.
Seriously. Now, that's exactly, and right, I love the reason you're afraid of Christians, and you know what it is? Because nobody who says something like that wants to stick around to hear the word, like, Muslim or Jew, or, you know, because it's just a bunch of people like Daryl in the world. When I leave the house, I only want to see people that look like me, and talk like me, and it terrifies me that there are people who are slightly different!
Does it kind of weird you out that he just basically said he still believes in slavery?
Seriously.
That really makes me kind of nauseous.
No, and you know what, and Thomas, and I'm not going to sit and make this a history class, but as anybody who knows American history knows, that many people, among them Thomas Jefferson, by the way, were radically and drastically opposed. See, also Benjamin Franklin, drastically opposed to calling this a nation based on religion. So, there you go. Speaking of guys who believe everything they're told, Daryl, you're on the enemy's list.
Daryl doesn't even exist.
I hope he doesn't kill his family over the holidays.
Did somebody kill their family in the Bible?
He's a sightseeing tour to the coast.
He's too busy buying slaves. All right, there you go. As long as they have a nice house and some scraps.
There you go.
Good times. Daryl, man of God.
Here's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen.
I think it's high time for Britney Watch.
Serious.
Some breaking Britney news.
All right. Love of sweet Christ.
So this is brand new. Newly single Britney Spears has reportedly placed her Malibu mansion up for sale after filing for divorce.
Now you know why. It's because she can keep all the proceeds. You don't have to split it with a rapping boy.
Federline was unemployed when Spears paid $6.9 million for the 8-bedroom home following the October 2004 wedding. The lavish home includes an outdoor kitchen, spa, gym, tennis courts, a $150,000 nursery and a recording studio. She's asking $13.5 million.
Oh, you know, and she'll get it, too, because her star is back on the rise. That's the thing about Britney Spears, is that there is a conventional wisdom in this country. And the conventional wisdom for a while is she is washed up. But the conventional wisdom, the pulse of the nation, the zeitgeist, as it were, is that Britney Spears is back on the comeback trail. And that's going to mean everything around her, except for Kevin Federline himself, is going to prosper and benefit. Oh, this is great. And Todd the Corpse weighs in and says, Rick, I believe this caller wants to talk to Tom. All right. 503-733-2970. Let's see. What do we got here? God, do I even want to take these? Hold on, let me flip a coin.
Sarah, do you have a coin?
Don't lose it. It's for the bus.
Kids, you too can work in radio. Oh, no.
I'll give you a dime.
I can't shop there. I've seen my paychecks. Let's see here. Hold on.
I guess we missed the job fair yesterday.
Oh, yeah. We didn't get cookies.
Let's see. Okay, it's Tails. We'll take these. Rich, you're on the... I'm sorry. I got to give you a dime back. Buddy, can you... Hello, Rich.
Hi. Hey, I just wanted to chime in on that dude that just called.
Yes.
that
please scream at us at the top of your lungs.
Yes, and then hang up and run away like a bitch.
Okay, that's my favorite thing to do. No, myself, that I'm Jewish, but only a lunatic would believe that the stuff in the Bible that they had slaves is what you would do today. That's just what they did.
The best part is that to Daryl, you don't really exist. You're like a huge 6-foot invisible rabbit.
Sweet.
When he walks out during the holiday season, you don't even occur in his in Daryl's world. There is no you. Yeah.
There is no me. But interestingly enough, back in slavery days, both Christians and even some Jews in the South used the Bible to justify having slaves.
They said,
well, they had them back then, so.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, it's Daryl has a problem with anybody else being able to respond to him once he's made an observation.
As long as they're working in God's cotton fields.
Yes, seriously, as long as they're stitching holy garments.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Del Paxton. And one more. Tyler the Hippie, hello.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
What's up, brother?
Not much. Haven't talked to you in a while.
Yes, I missed you.
Sarah, hello.
Hi,
hello.
Tyler.
Hey, that was great. I love the way you work that guy.
I didn't even get a chance to work him. I
took a breath to be worked.
Seriously, I was opening my mouth to say, listen, jackhole, and then there's the telltale sound of the cowardly click is what that is. And you'll hear that, man, and the guy was talking about, he went to Dr. Tom. You hear that on Tom constantly. If people call up and it's click, gone. That was that guy, yeah.
Well, you had me roll into my car. I actually had to pull over to...
Sometimes I can't tell if I'm talking to somebody who really believes that or if they're just trying to provide comic relief for the program.
Let's hope
that. No, I think he was a believer.
That's too bad. You know, that's the kind of guy that has like 80 kids, too.
Yeah.
All of them who will turn out to be gay. All right.
Well, hey, I haven't listened to you guys for a while, but it's good to be back. And,
thank you.
Keep it up, man.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
All right. Love you guys.
All right.
I know you, and you fight fair. Like, if that guy had a valid point, I know that you wouldn't just be one of those over-talkers and then hang up on him and call him names. I can't believe he did that. Just called and says all that stuff and then hangs up.
That's like the third one of those calls we've had this week, too, where a guy called him.
We're not even talking about God. Where are these coming from?
Well, and my question is,
Greg Santorum is having a symposium at the Civic Center.
And motivational. motivational speech and cross burning. Well, the weird thing is just to think, and again, we take all comers here. It's a big tent, as the GOP, the gay old party, says. Mm-hmm. But the weird thing is to think that, like, that guy listens. And maybe he doesn't listen every day. I mean, whatever, you know. I'm just saying, it's odd to me to think, because you like to think that the people listen to your show, that they're all a cut above, that they're all the upper crust mentally, that the creme de la creme. And then, like, that guy calls in, and you just, you know...
That'll let it ruin the weekend.
Seriously, I'm just saying.
Why, Helen? Why do you do these things?
Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, back to the Britney watch. With a divorce in the works and her body looking like $1 million, according to this article, Britney Spears is plotting an Elvis-like comeback in Vegas. That was her plan more than a year ago, according to Jack Wishna, who pitched her on a Celine Dion-like deal. She wanted to launch her comeback in a major hotel casino here. And that would have put her on the Strip property in 2007 to 2008 for 40-plus weeks at $15 million to $20 million a year.
Yeah, the thing is that I would totally go see Britney Spears at this point. I would absolutely pay. Mm-hmm. I totally would. Do we have other Britney news?
Old news, so I just threw it away, but that was all the new news.
Fantastic.
So, and she's going to Miami this weekend, possibly searching for a new home.
Really?
Yes.
And looking fine, I might add. I just got to say, I saw another picture of her the other day. I forget where it was. It wasn't TMZ. It was someplace else. Some other picture of Britney Spears where she really looked genuinely pretty. And I know that that's a lot of, there's a lot of makeup and shot from far away and she's got the bad skin and the so forth. But I'll tell you what, they're doing amazing things with dermabrasion now. So it is entirely possible that she is legitimately pretty. You know what somebody sent me the other day was that photo of her. And this is a weird thing to think back on, actually. It's amazing how far we've come as a country, but just how you can't see things as they are at the time, and then you see them just a couple years later, and you kind of go, what? Somebody had sent me, hey, Rick, do you remember these glory days? And it was a picture of Britney Spears from that now infamous layout she did in Rolling Stone, where she was like the full-on Lolita pose. You know the layout I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that one photo, where she's in her bedroom, surrounded by, like, teddy bears and dolls. Well, there's that one, too, where she's laying on the bed in the pink satin. I sound all Ken Melman now. There's that photo where she's standing in front of a dresser, and she's surrounded by, like, dolls and teddy bears. And she has, it's like, the hot pants on, and then, like a bra or something or whatever. And it looks for all the world like some early... It really does look like something right out of some perv's, kiddie porn collection. I mean, it's just all... And it was in Rolling Stone. I was like, it's a famous photo. And a guy sent it to me, and I just... How weird that is. And at the time, we were just like, oh, look at these hot photos of Britney Spears. I don't think it has to do with anything with us, with me being older. I think you just kind of get some distance from it, and you go, God damn, that's a weird photo layout. I can't imagine what it would be like to have kids and then to have a photo layout like that of Britney Spears come out. The whole thing would just be insane. What was my point? I got nothing. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, Tillamook Damage is going to be in the millions of dollars. They're trying to tackle a big cleanup up there. They had 3 to 4 inches of rain, and things aren't going very well. Also, Highway 35, that usually takes you to Mount Hood. Well, that's going to cost $20 billion somewhere around there. So they're going to build a road there anytime soon.
All right.
But we're up on here, so why should we care?
As long as we're all able to get to the movies and the brew pub, that's really all that matters.
Yeah, because everyone wants to see Barat this weekend.
Oh, man, dude, I tried twice. I tried 2 nights in a row to see that. 2 nights in a row. I looked on Light, sold out. And Laura was talking to her friends because we were going to go last night. Mm. And Laura's talking to her friends, and they're like, yeah, good luck. And they just snorted because they have tried like 3 nights in a row to see it. Every night it was either sold out. When they finally got in to see it, the only seats they could get were like the ass seats, like right in the front, like where you look straight up at the screen down in the front. And it's only on 800 screens. And you know it's got to roll out wider because on 800 screens, it beat the pants off Santa Claus 3, which is on over 3,000 screens. And I have to tell you, it's just like I was saying to Craig Gass earlier, that I typically don't book comics on the show. And Sarah was like giving it to me in the hall. Way that I should have had him in the studio.
That's
or
right,
that
because that this is again the Joshua Jackson thing, like run guests spy me please, because see sometimes it is really interesting that he had all these guest spots on shows that's where I knew him from, and you knew him from Howard right. Stern.
I should have. And to be fair, although Matt asked me about it this morning, yesterday afternoon Chase called me and he's like, Craig Gass, and I'm like, it's pass, you know. Nothing. And then the crazy on the phone, he's like the best guest ever. So let's now make a pact. In the future, I will run guests by you, Sarah, and you, Tim.
Thank you.
Me, John, Big Tree, before we say no. What was my point? Oh, but generally speaking, I don't like to interview comedians because you can't ever get any real answers out of them. It's just them doing shtick. Right. Also, with Sacha Baron Cohen, he's Borat and he's Ali G, and I typically don't like that kind of humor. Sort of comedy based on deception. Like, Ali G is the worst. Like, when he interviews somebody and the person comes in thinking...
I find that funny.
See, and I don't.
Sometimes it's a little over the top, but when he's interviewing someone who actually goes along with it, it's pretty funny.
See, that's funny, but it's like... And the Ali G show is where he sits down and he's like a fictitious sort of rapper, journalist guy from Britain. And he'll get, like, Pat Buchanan to sit down with him. And poor Pat Buchanan thinks he's doing, like, a real, like, a straight interview. And then, Ali G, Sacha Cohen as Ali G is just screwing with him. And I dislike that. I find it to be a very low form of comedy. It's not like I'm offended by it. But it's a cheap way to get comedy. Now, I know
it's been around forever, and there have been different people doing it.
It is true. And I know
the Borat character is so hysterical.
And that's the thing about it. And I know that we do our own version of that where I have to work in the 5 dumb phrases with Carrot Top or whatever. But at least I try to package like a real interview around that. So comedy that's sort of based on deception like that always kind of strikes a sour note with me. That being said, people whose opinions I really respect have said that the Borat thing is genius.
Have you ever seen his show when he plays that character?
I've seen on YouTube some clips where it's very funny.
It is very, very, very funny. My friend has a collection. I've seen him.
And Ryan across the hall is a big fan. And then Don Geronimo, that guy knows from funny. Don Geronimo did like 20 minutes on it the other day. He said it was the funniest single film he has ever seen in his life. And that's including Animal House, Airplane, whatever. Said it's the funniest thing he has ever seen. Now, I don't know if it's going to be that funny for me, but yeah. But I've tried to see it numerous times now, and it's, you know, anyway. So there you go. Should we take a break here?
Yes.
All right. Let's take a break. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We'll come back later on. We got Jim Root, more from Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Oh, we got to play this Wake Up with Whoopi sound. Scott Daly will be in here, and we'll play The creepiest song ever. Stay there.
Andrew W. Curry. I never cared much about you.